Dallas Cowboys fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-3, and the season is over for the Dallas Cowboys after one hard-fought preseason game. Welcome, everybody, to another Chop Sports podcast episode. And we got, things just firing off over there.
I don't think we heard that on the mic.
No, definitely not. I'm not worried about it, but... Okay, well,
that's because you're right.
Yeah, you're right there, dude.
And it's fine. We're not starting over.
We're not starting over. That's totally fine. I don't know what it was, but it is.
You piece of shit. Get your fucking
This is what happens when you put AJ not right next to us. We change the studio again. Producer is now in a producer's role, a producer's chair, a.k.a. the couch. And I think that's more comfortable anyway. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong.
I love it over here.
All right, you're over there and just stay out of our way. I'm kidding. So, Chop Sports Podcast. Episode Friday, Feel Good Friday, here on August 5th. It's August 6th.
Feel great Friday, dude.
Feel great. I know, aren't you?
I went through a period of self-loathing last night where I questioned everything that I'm doing.
You didn't answer my text.
I didn't answer your text.
It was, and I felt offended. Honestly, I don't get offended easily anymore.
Honestly, I feel like at that point, the best thing to do was not to answer your text because I didn't agree with your text. I was like, no, Dave, we're not going to do that. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to talk to him tomorrow.
Okay.
And we talked.
And we talked.
And here we are.
And here we are.
And I don't think you're going to do what you said you were going to do.
Well, I'm not going to do that because 50% owner of Chop Sports told me not to do it. So I'm not going to do it.
I thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. I'm not here to burn bridges. I'm not here to talk shit. That's not my job. It might be your job on occasion, but it's not my job. I'll talk shit when I need to talk shit and when it's warranted, but this isn't warranted.
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to talk some shit to you.
Yes, probably.
Looking at the lineup on the intro.
I did put out a banger of a lineup coming up today on the podcast. You'll hear plenty of Dallas Cowboys stuff because it is, you know, the day after a game. We'll get our takeaways from the game. Obviously, there is NFL news to go around. And of course today we are on day six of our 32 teams in 32 days as we break down what we thought yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars was going to do low on the numbers. Just wait
Bro, until we preview the Texans. I was not kidding. We should have fucking combined that.
You're right. But we had a meeting yesterday. We kind of force fed it and kind of just like blew right through the Jaguars. But there's not much to talk about the Jaguars, as is. There's not much to talk about the Houston Texans. But we will break them down. Some key losses, some depth chart stuff. We'll break all the Texans fans down because we know they're out there. And when I say they're out there, they're probably not really out there. I don't even know a Texans fan. I guess when you're a Texans fan, you're either A, from Houston, or B, a former Oilers fan, or C, somebody that just got into the NFL when the Texans came to town into the NFL. And you're like, I want to
pick
guys.
The shittiest team in the league to like.
They beat the Cowboys on their first game. Remember that? You remember that or no?
No.
Okay, well, David Carr beat the Cowboys on his first game. Yeah, ding, sorry. We're going to absolutely have that ding loaded in for Monday. As we change things up on the Chop Sports Podcast, we're going to start going live on our Facebook channel, on our YouTube channel. We're going to get our content out there. We will still be putting out a podcast. The works. We got to get back to our ground level of what we've been doing here and why we started this whole thing in the first place. So, Hall of Fame game. Your thoughts, Gooch.
What?
Exactly. You didn't see it, so it doesn't matter.
I watched highlights, which is all you need to do for a fucking preseason game.
This is very true. There wasn't many. I believe the first takeaway I have is that the Steelers left their starters in a little too long. Chase Claypool got banged up on a run.
Chase Claypool almost turned into Chase Deadpool.
Right.
He almost died.
he almost died.
Lay out for a catch. This is the reason why I don't agree with preseason football whatsoever.
And let's call it how we saw it. There was a push-off. He pushed off Nashawn Wright.
Oh, God.
And then laid out and then still made the catch. Great catch.
Beautiful fucking play by
Chase. Oh, it was a beautiful play. Chase. But yes, beautiful
I got
route.
Got my eye on you, Chase.
Oh, all right.
Talking around seven.
Eighth round. Okay, Chase Claypool. We'll see about that. But one thing I will take away from the game is that we should never, and when I say we, I mean the Dallas Cowboys should never let their punter kick again. There was a couple kicks. I put out something on Twitter. It was got a nice little response because of what it looked like. It literally looked like if you're a Madden head, if you're a Madden player and you have the thing where you get to like aim your field goal, it looks like he literally just fell asleep on the analog stick.
Oh, he almost
and
fell
sent
asleep?
It right.
I'm going to fall asleep if we keep talking about the preseason.
Listen, man, we're excited. It's football. Don't you dare do that because you'll be tuned in to your first Packer preseason game like it's the goddamn Super Bowl. Stop.
I know that we agreed to not beat the Yankees to death like we typically do on this show.
Yes.
But if the Packers were playing yesterday in place of the Cowboys.
Okay.
And it was the Packers Steelers in the Hall of Fame game and the Yankees were playing in that big, big, huge fucking game, I would not have watched the Packers.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, I only put on the Yankees in commercials.
That does not dismiss my fanhood. My fanhood is not in question here.
I don't know. I'm starting to question.
No.
How do you not watch every down of your team?
Because it's not every fucking down of my team when it's preseason. All I care about is one thing and one thing only. There's one stat line that matters in
injuries.
Preseason, and that's injuries.
Yeah,
nobody
I get
gets
it.
Hurt. That's good.
But when you have rookies, don't you want to see them play a little more than what they would?
I want to see them play in week one against the real NFL players, not guys that are typically going to be cut by the end
of
the week.
So you think these guys are going to just be game ready going into week one, no preseason whatsoever?
It's their job. It's as much as practice as anything, but that's what it is. I'm not going out there and watching every fucking Packers practice. To me, it's practice. I think the players hate it.
Iverson of you.
Well, no, I think practice is very important. I just think that these games don't have any bearing. If the Packers go 0-3 in the preseason, it does not matter a shred to me. It has nothing to do with any of it. Rodgers isn't going to play. This guy's not going to play. If they're even a smidge banged up, they better not play. You want to see guys that are fighting for positions. That's it. That's
you don't think Rodgers plays any downs?
He better fucking not.
Okay.
That's what do we need to know if Rodgers has got it?
No, I'm not saying he doesn't got it. Did you see that throw, by the way, where he sank it in? How long was that? 40 yards?
At least 50 yards.
That's insane.
I'm going to say it was 90 yards.
But my dad said, how many attempts was that?
One.
Nah.
Oh, ah. Bro, I watched, first of all, this is
I thought you didn't watch practice. How would you know it's only one attempt?
No. Let me finish. This is a normal thing for Aaron Rodgers. He puts on a show in practice. You think that Aaron Rodgers is... He's the Steph Curry of quarterbacks where he could fucking throw the ball and hit something from 12 miles away.
I don't know. He's no Tom Brady. He can't throw it to a thingy and then it throws it back to him and then he throws...
Tom Brady is a fucking hologram. I'm not even sure he's alive anymore.
He's just on strings.
He's not a real human. Like John Madden's been a hologram for like 41 years. He's not a real dude anymore. It's a simulation.
Okay.
At this point.
He's also caught in the matrix, but what?
Don't disrespect my Aaron Rodgers segment with fucking Tom Brady ever again. Didn't you see what happened this fucking offseason with the golf? Tom Brady got put in his hole.
Right? Literally and figuratively.
That did it.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. We're taking that fucking NFC this year. I know you think you are, but
I didn't say that we're taking the NFC.
You got me fired up because you're talking like fucking two throws. No, one throw. I don't know. Maybe it was five throws, but
it may have been 50
saw one.
Throws.
You know what they did?
Oh, yeah. All right. So
I'm going to
explain. You only saw one. Which one are they going
to
post?
You want to know the best part about it? This is goes back to our conversation about when you put me dropping a pass against Scoop in the first fucking opening stanza of the highlight. Like the editor, if it was 10 throws, we would never know because whoever edited that video was a fucking, had Aaron Rodgers back, right?
So you're saying I didn't have your back,
You didn't
bro?
Have my back, bro. I got Jimmy Palumbo fucking roasting Jesus. Me on the airwaves because I dropped a pass that had to stop running the catch, by the way. I had to stop. Otherwise, I would have face planted into the stoop.
I don't know what's now worse anymore. Like your logic and reasoning behind that play or Scoop being actually torched in the entire video. Yeah. I don't know what's harder to accept.
Or the fact that you left that video in.
That video in because the quarterback is a stud and he dropped it in the bucket.
At least now we got Dave to admit why he left that video in. Right? Fair enough. Okay.
Fair enough.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson. That's another thing we could take away from the Hall of Fame game was in the pregame, Jerry Jones announced that Jimmy Johnson was going in the Ring of Honor. Now, a lot of teams have Ring of Honors, right? I think Ring of Honors should be tougher to get into because it's your team. You have to be literally a representative of your team's history. I'm not talking about like this guy had a great two seasons. He's definitely going to go in that Ring of Honor. Now, like this guy, Jimmy Johnson, this is long overdue. You don't win two Super Bowls back-to-back years and not, like, you have won two-fifths of your franchise's Super Bowls. And you know what? Let's call it how it is, and you know this too, as being a football fan. He would have won the next year too, and the next year after that. Like, that team was, this was all before free agency, so they just kept all their players. You know what I'm saying? So that team could have won freaking four straight. But there was an ego involved, and Jerry Jones doesn't know how to get out of his own way. And they separated, and in come fucking Barry Switzer, and the rest is history. But And Barry Switzer wind up winning a Super Bowl, but everybody knows, any Cowboy fan knows listening to this or the sound of my voice ever on my podcast, All About the Star, or Jersey Boys, any Cowboys fan knows that that Barry Switzer Super Bowl was Jimmy Johnson's team. That there's no way around that. So good for Jimmy Johnson getting his due. He made a joke, though. He said, when Jerry was like, ah, I'm going to put you in the Ring of Honor. It's about time. It's overdue. Right? And Jimmy Johnson goes, well, I'm still alive? Like, he didn't know if it was, like, this year or, like, just saying, like, oh, you'll get in. We just don't know when. Hopefully it's this year. Hopefully it's when I'm there, week three. The Monday Night Football home opener at halftime. Why not put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor when Sturch is in the house? I don't even know if I introduced us. Sturch, Gooch, and, of course, AJ behind the glass. I'm not even sure if I did that today. Which is funny. My dad's like, so he's really not behind any glass, right? And I was like, no, he's just sitting right here. There's no proverbial glass. There's no glass at all. It's just he's sitting with us. He's having a conversation. So Jimmy Johnson, the Ring of Honor, that was something we said. One thing I will say that was pretty cool is that they did rotate guys in the booth with... Oh, my goodness. Is that the bagel or the coffee or both?
Combo.
Okay, nice little combo. That better not make its way over here. But
There's another one.
Anyway, which we'll call. One thing I'll say is they had different guys in the booth with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. First of all, Joe Buck, I like him now, right? I think I've adapted to like Joe Buck. There's a lot of hate on Joe Buck, and I'm not sure why. I think
because he's a fucking pussy, Dave.
But why? But what makes him a P word? What does that?
He always talks shit about the Yankees when they're losing and then talks amazing about them when they're winning, but he's a Packer hater. And every
I used to say that he was a Cowboy
hater.
Honestly,
and I hate Troy Aikman too.
Oh, you're
so
an
the
asshole.
Two of them together makes me sick. They're
20 years they've been at it. They said it yesterday.
They've been getting hammered in the booth for 20 years, these two.
He's always like high off his ass. No, but I will say that Joe Buck has grown on me. I think Joe Buck grew on me more when I started.
Do I understand that Joe Buck is good at his job?
He's a Hall of Famer now.
But I don't like him.
He's going into the Football Hall of Fame.
I don't have to like him just because he's good at his job.
I guess
I don't like his partner.
I mean, you don't like his partner because why?
And I've watched my teams lose big games with him calling them, and it just gives me a sour taste. I don't care.
There are times that Joe Buck has, called things, and in like that little quip at the end, like I remember there was one time, I don't know, Cowboys had an interception, right? Takes it back to the house. 15-10-5, touchdown, and there are no flags. Like, I'm like, wait, Joe, why are we looking for that? You know what I mean? Like, stop. And last night, the Steelers made a field goal, right, in the third quarter. After a bunch of misses, Dallas was missing them, Pittsburgh was missing them, everybody's missing field goals. And he goes, and Joe goes, we finally got a field goal, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm like, the Cowboys have 3 points. And by rule, the only way you can get 3 points is by hitting a field goal. So what the hell? But anyway, enough about Joe Buck.
Did you hear that one on the airwaves?
No, I don't think
that
so.
That burp? Yeah, I did.
Anyway, so enough about Joe Buck. But what I was getting to is they had different guests in the booth, and they also had a field reporter doing interviews. All the guys in the Hall of Fame, right, going into Saturday and Sunday. So the 2020 class and the 2021 class got interviewed periodically here and there. Peyton Manning was in the booth. So ready for this? And this is going to – you obviously didn't see the game or watch the game. But apparently Peyton and Eli Manning are –
I know what they're doing.
No, man. But you know they're only on ESPN. They're an alternate, right? They're an alternate broadcast, but not only that, they're not in any booth. They're going to be like chilling on their couch, yeah. Right? I think that's going to be awesome.
So basically, they're taking the idea that we're doing.
Yes.
For Sundays, and they're doing that on Mondays.
Yes.
Smart.
Yeah, so they can follow us.
They'll probably have a better, higher ratings than we will, even though we got the sauce.
They'll probably have higher ratings than normally ESPN.
But if they're working for ESPN, the actual ESPN.
They are.
Then there's hacks.
They have sold their souls to ESPN, the mainstream
It'll be like
sports
3 months
media,
and they're going to be yes men. Unfortunately, yeah. Well, maybe not Peyton because he
gets
runs
it, bro.
Shit.
He gets it, and I listened to him in the booth with Troy and Joe, and like he's just he's an awesome dude, bro. Brady's flying in, right? He's gonna be in attendance, but he's gonna be sitting amongst all the Colts. He's like, I don't know if they're gonna be able to like handle that, and they might like take care of business, like in the crowd. Can you imagine Tom Brady just getting assaulted?
Yes, I actually can imagine that.
It's my dream.
One thing
actually.
I can imagine.
It's my dream to do that. But anyway, so the interviews were cool. The interviews that weren't cool were the ones on the field, because for whatever reason, they decided to do a like a camera shot of the said player, whether it be Calvin Johnson, Drew Pearson, a couple other guys were getting interviewed. But the kids that were like waiting for autographs were like right there. Like they wouldn't get off camera. And I'm just like, move the camera, turn my man this way, like do something different. There's no reason for them. Like, yes, if the kids are there and they have like VIP tickets or something to get autographs, great. But it's like they're on camera the entire interview. It was like nauseating. It was terrible.
Good for the kids. I remember being on camera once. Sterling Sharp and Steve Young were outside Giant Stadium because it was still Giant Stadium.
Sterling Sharp and Steve, ESPN.
When they were doing the countdown thing. Yeah, it was great. So I was on TV screaming. I didn't give a fuck about the cameras. It's all over that.
Yeah, but you know what, though? How old were you?
26.
Bullshit!
Close. I was definitely a full-grown adult.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. That's fun.
Now, acting like a child, as
you know, it's funny I say that, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Not that long ago, this clown's on the Jumbotron at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Acting like a fucking child.
Right.
One fist up,
like
blocking a six-year-old behind
me. Like Calhoun's kid for no reason. Like, that's
bro,
right.
This is my fucking time to shine. Get behind, back of the line, bro.
What's that? It's your first game ever? Don't give a shit.
Also, you got an Ohtani ball? It's mine now. Should have took that
Such
ball.
A bully, bro. Yeah. Such a bully. Speaking of bullies, we talked about this the other day, but now it's an alarming thing.
I know
thing.
We're going to disagree on this.
That's fine. That's fine. It's a nice conversation to have. The third Giant, Zach Fulton, will be retiring. That is the third Giant in 4 days to retire during training camp. Okay, this comes on the heels of Joe Looney, who they signed for a day, former Cowboy, who I was very upset that he signed with the Giants, but I figured it was a Jason Garrett connect. I'm like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. But yeah, the kid, the Giants are now dropping off the face of the earth. Kelvin Benjamin gets cut, right, or whatever, and then he lashes out about Joe Judge. This doesn't seem like it's a good thing for the Giants. Look, you don't have guys just saying like, you know, I want to trade or I want this or I want that. It's like, I quit. I don't want to play for this guy. So it begs the question.
I wish we had a wah loaded into the soundboard.
Well, we will.
Improv that one for you. They sound like a bunch of babies.
All right. Well, football, something we talked about once upon a time on the Chop Social. I believe we brought it up once, but it was a good conversation. Do you believe in Joe Judge's method of literally like that brawl happened and his penalty to the team was to run laps, push-ups, all this other shit, drive him pretty much crazy, curse, scream, be all aggressive in your ass, and now you lost three players. Is that the method?
Well, I think Kelvin Benjamin was already gone.
Well, that's not that, part of the that that's point. Not part of the three that retired.
I think that if somebody's going to retire because they had to run a lap and do push-ups,
you say lap, it's not just a lap, it's sprints.
I don't
bro.
Give a fuck if it's sprints. Five thousand laps.
You're
yes.
a grown man. Why are you running exactly. sprints?
Because you need to get in shape for the season. You can look at it like a discipline thing, but I also look at it as a two birds, one stone thing. It's like you're going to get some discipline, and you're also going to come out of this in better shape, regardless of which way you want to look at it. You run sprints, you get your win back. You get cardio for it's the fourth quarter of week two, and nobody's in shape. Maybe they should have ran a couple extra sprints.
Oh, yeah, but these sprints aren't conditioning sprints. These are you're an asshole sprints, and this is my disciplinary action is to make you run sprints. This is not peewee football,
what
bro.
What have the Giants
not
done?
Not peewee football.
What have the Giants, name me a player on the Giants roster right now that has earned anything in the NFL besides the contract that they're playing for. But think about it. Have they won anything? This is a young team.
No, they haven't made the playoffs since they went on the boat trip.
My point exactly. This is a young team. They have a lot to prove, and they haven't done anything right in the last 5 years. This guy, he had the team playing hard last year. If you want to talk shit about running sprints and running doing this, talk to me on week four. If they're 3-1, the sprints ain't gonna fucking matter. I could promise you.
What if you're 1-3?
Well, then there's another story, another conversation to be had. But it won't be because of the sprints that they're 1-3. It'll be because of lack of execution and a bunch of other things. But it ain't gonna be because of the sprints. Now, when a team brawls,
I'm talking about a coaching style.
My point is, I question how you would coach. You don't think that you would be an
I coach football.
Coach.
I coach football.
I'm talking about NFL.
Here's the difference.
So what should you do? Should you only be that type of coach if you're coaching kids? Like, they're grown men. People are like, they're grown men. We're going to talk about Salah's comment. Does anybody have the quote?
Yeah, well, Salah basically went on record and said there's ways to do this, and that might not be one of them.
So when Salah was asked that question...
And Salah's the most intense coach coming out of San Francisco.
Well, he's a bitch for answering the question. Like, if I'm a reporter and I ask... All right, run that back. If I'm if I'm Robert Salah, mm-hmm. and a reporter asks me a question about another team's coaching style, you know what I have to say about it? Absolutely nothing. I don't even know what. I would be like, what? That's a dumb question. I'm here to worry about me. And I would move on. Him talking about another coaching style or another guy, another team, to me, that's soft. That's soft. That's not hard. Now, maybe I wouldn't coach the way Joe Judge coaches, and I probably would coach a little bit more like the way Salah does, where I'm like a player's coach but also intense. That would probably be my approach. But my approach would also be kind of more like Joe Judge when he was asked about how the brawl went. I got aroused.
Yeah, basically got a boner. Like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
That's kind of how I would answer that too. Maybe I wouldn't say I got a boner, but I did get a boner over Randall Cobb joining the squad. But that's another story entirely. I just think that it's soft for Salah to mention or to even comment on another coaching style. I think that it's a good conversation for us to have because we're not coaching in the NFL. I just think that personally, I think that players need to toughen up a little bit. If you run sprints, if you're retiring from the NFL and you're leaving all that money on the table because you had to run a fucking sprint or 50 for that matter.
Or maybe it's not just that. Maybe there's a certain demeanor that this guy's coming off and saying, I'd rather not play in the league than play for a guy like this. That's where I'm at. And look, this is coming from a guy. All right.
Don't take this the wrong way, public. And then it's, oh yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, I don't want to play for him either. Well, you know what you sound like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A bunch of bitches.
Okay, so my question to you is, who's your favorite NFL coach of all time? Since you had to deal with McCarthy for 10, now obviously it ain't him. Is it Holmgren? Is that, or can you separate that? Because I have a coach that, yes, he coached with the Cowboys, but he's not known for it.
Do I have a favorite coach?
Favorite coach ever.
Of all time? I mean, Holmgren was the best Packers coach by far.
But best Packers coach, but do you have a coach in the NFL that you're like, that's my guy, man. I like that guy. I like his style. I like the way he coaches.
I want Bill Belichick.
You do? Yeah. So that's a guy who he does get rowdy, but he's very soft-spoken. He's very monotone, very like passive, very...
I want the guy that has the most hardware. I want the guy that made the most out of the least, and I think that's Belichick. If you even look at the Parcells years, Parcells never done shit without Belichick on his staff, period. Belichick has played he's coached in like 80% of the Super Bowls ever.
Yeah. it's kind of absurd. You're right. But no, if I had to answer that question, my favorite coach of all time is Bill Parcells. But Bill Parcells from the Giants was different than Bill Parcells from the Cowboys. Bill Parcells from the Cowboys still made sense, still got angry. But the guy with the Giants, he was up their ass. Like, and he was, and he won two Super Bowls based off his coaching style and the talent around him.
Us being under the assumption that these guys did in fact retire because of Joe Judge's coaching style. This is speculation.
The timing is impeccable.
It could be CTE. The timing is first of all, the media sucks. We shouldn't even fucking care that they're running laps and sprints. It's practice. You're talking about practice, Dave, right? We're talking about like preseason games, but less. It's practice. They fought. They ran. It should be put behind them. That's it.
But then three players retired, is what I'm saying.
But if the media didn't make a big deal about how them running sprints and how it was like a Giants camp, then, well, I don't know if that's going to fly, but...
we get it. It's fine, bro.
The media making a big deal about it is the major issue to me. The media making a mountain out of a molehill, as always, and then three players retire, and then it's up to us to kind of put two and two together and be like, well, their coach curses, and
I don't care about the cursing.
And the players are retiring.
Well, AJ doesn't either because he's all Gary V'd up.
I'm being... You know, I'm being facetious. I'm like, oh, that. Obviously, I know that it's more than the cursing. It's like they also had to do a push-up and run a fucking sprint. So because they have to do all these things and the media has to tell everybody how hardcore. I said this the other day. Tom Coughlin, they hated him until when?
They won.
Until they won.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And they also were 1-2, I think, to start that one season. And 10-6 in the other one where they, you know, they weren't like, it wasn't like they were winning all year. There was beef all year. in Giants camp going into that year. Like, they were not – Strahan wanted out. They wanted him out. It was a lot going on. And then all of a sudden you win. And now ask Strahan who his favorite coach that he played for is. I can guarantee you it's Tom Coughlin.
All right. Well, like I said, it's something to be said about the timing of all this. This is why I don't – look, we don't know why.
You watch All-American, right?
I mean, I only saw the first season. Okay, I haven't caught up yet.
You're playing safety. What do you mean I'm playing safety? I'm here to catch touchdowns. You know what scene I'm talking about? Because it's on the commercial.
Yeah.
Right? Should they have fired the coach because he made his star player play safety? Or it's children, so you're allowed to make him do that.
I'm saying, no, that's not true at all, because I coached at the high school level as an assistant for varsity football, right? I was there. I understand. The coach we had, big dick. Big prick. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about the size of his dick for? Fucked up.
I mean, I thought we... Yes, you're going ahead and you're taking a head-on approach.
And now I got to fucking edit that. Like, there's no way I leave that in. Like, coffee talk. Good Lord. Write down the timestamp, please, because I can't use that. Oh, God. So anyway, I only bring this up because of the timing of everything, and I think that it's just a different ball game now with guys that are saying, like, I'd rather not play in the league at all, like, fulfill a freaking dream other than play for Joe Judge and his staff. Maybe it's his staff. Yesterday, now, ready for this? Jason Garrett's on the podium, right? He pulled a Deion. Somebody said Jason Garrett was infamous for it's just like you know about McCarthy's interviews. When you hear his voice, you're like, oh, my God. It's the same thing I felt about Jason Garrett over the last 10 years, where it's the same thing. And the last thing that happens after a Jason Garrett interview, a press conference, is good to see you guys. And he leaves. He walks off. Good to see you guys. That's it, right? Somebody said, good to see you too, Jason. And he goes back to the mic and he goes, I need you to call me coach. And I was like, who the hell is that? Like, that's not Jason Garrett. That's another guy that looks like beyond edge.
He is a pussy.
Oh, man. You're just not getting it, bro. You're not getting it.
He's a pussy. Jason Garrett's a pussy.
Are we in the same mindset that, like, these guys deserve a little bit more respect, or are we not liking him?
Does Jason Garrett deserve more respect?
He's the offensive coordinator for the Giants.
By, like, the media guys? I mean, there could be a guy that just doesn't like Jason Garrett. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going
to
get my
That seems to be the guy that did the Deion, right? Like, yeah. you didn't like Deion, so he called him Deion.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not going to speak for the entire media, which typically suck, right?
Correct. I mean, like, there's a couple good seeds out there.
There's some guys I like, but let's be real. They're asking cookie cutter questions 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. And if they want to have a little bit of fun with a coach that none of us really like, then go have at it. I fuck with Deion.
I like Deion.
Coach Prime, I will call. I don't know
what Prime Time's my favorite player of all time.
But I don't know. I'm kind of lost in the mix here because I'm trying to figure out if we're trying to analyze, like, coaches being soft or media being too hard on the coach. I feel like everybody in the underlying tone here is that everyone sucks and everyone's fucking soft. It's like Jason Garrett's being soft because one guy called him out of pocket. And it's like, bro, go fuck into the locker room and go yell at your players or don't. I don't know what we're allowed to do anymore. Right? Like, what are we supposed to do?
That's good. That's good. Listen. When Gooch is on fire, he's on fire, folks. And with this,
usually what happens after a self-loathing period.
Yes, I understand. AJ, are we ready and able to do a update?
Oh, we're more than ready to
then
do
you
an update.
Take it away, my friend.
All right, my friends, we're here with the Curtis Sells House's sports update, and let's start with our local teams first. The Marlins were able to beat the Mets yesterday 4-2, another disappointing loss for the Mets. They're in trouble in the NL East. The Yankees were able to come away late in their game against the Mariners and seal that one up 5-3. The Tigers beat up on the Boston Red Sox 8-1, and the Red Sox are starting to lose their footing in the AL East. The Angels went ahead against the Texas Rangers, and they put on a clinic. They beat them 5-0. The Colorado Rockies and the Cubs had a pretty close affair, but little do most people know, the Rockies are deadly good at home and are able to get the victory yet again. The Giants and the Diamondbacks go into extra innings in their game, but the Giants are able to come away with the victory 5-4. The Phillies went against the Nationals again last night. They win that game 7-6. The Blue Jays face faced the Indians and were able to take care of them with ease 3-0. The Reds had a nice victory against the Pittsburgh Pirates 7-4. Nothing too crazy on that end. The Royals upset the White Sox yet again. These White Sox are starting to look a little shaky. They lose that game 3-2. The Twins have a huge upset over the Houston Astros 5-3. And then the Atlanta Braves shut up those St. Louis Cardinals 8-4. That is your AJ Sports Update.
We called it the AJ Sports Update.
I got like two notes here.
Uh-oh, here we go. Notes.
There was a shutout, and you did not mention Absolute Eyewear.
AJ. Right,
so there's one. And two is stop assuming that what people know and don't know. And I'm not coming down on you hard. I'm on fire. Right.
Meaning
now.
What?
Little do most people know whatever such and such team is really good at home. How the fuck do you know what most people know or don't know?
Because right? Most people in the New York area probably aren't paying attention to what the Colorado Rockies
are
doing.
We're a worldwide show.
We are world.
This is nothing to do
prestige,
with Central Jersey.
Prestige, worldwide.
We're a worldwide show, bro. But anyway, we're not.
Our reach reached India, my man. India. Friends over there. We have friends in India, so hello to those guys. Don't do it. Yeah, I caught you before you could.
I got a look of death from AJ. He's like, bro, I thought we were fucking home team. I thought we were on the same team. And I'm like, yeah, I know. We are.
AJ, thank you for the sports update, just my friend. Brought to you by Curtis Sells Houses for all your realty needs. So let's also give a shout out to the next advertiser that's about to help us for this week as we go to break. And when we come back, it's the Texans' turn in our 32 teams in 32 days. We are at day six already. Day six? Five. Boy, geez, I always mess that up.
Six.
Six. Day six already with the Houston Texans coming right back.
There is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you.
Welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Feel Good Friday. It is Friday, August the 6th, 2021. Guys, we're also 2 weeks away from the August 20th takeover. We haven't really promoted it much. I'll promote it probably over the weekend. We are going to Bar A on August the 20th to talk a whole bunch of shit to the Michael K Show, who are going to be at Bar A. So be sure to strap up. Bring your gun.
I thought you were talking about a dildo or something.
No. Strap up. I just meant like, I'll see you there. But I went real gangster on everybody. I was like, make sure you bring your gats and hopefully you get through security. Anyway, we're not going to go shoot
bring
anybody.
Bring 41 forms of ID also, because Bar A is terrible.
And don't wear a white t-shirt or anything else that's non-trendy and be male. Otherwise, you're golden to get in the Bar A. I haven't been there because of that.
And I'm making my own personal rule. No thong sandals for men. If
yes.
I see you there in thong sandals, you're
is that even allowed anyway?
No.
Right.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Except for Jesus. And he's allowed to do whatever he wants.
No. Not even him.
Really?
Yeah, nobody. No thong sandals. When I say thong sandals,
the ones
I
mean, that cut your toe in half,
yeah,
right?
The something that goes in between your big toe and your other ugly ass toe.
Your longer toe.
First of all, I think that personally, yeah. Now this isn't this. I know that I might have seen Dave's feet once in a while, but there's nothing more disgusting than a man's foot. So if you plan on exposing your foot in front of me, there better be a sock covering it, and those sandals better be slides with Nike on it. Otherwise, they're banned.
With just not, I have Jordans, and I have
Jordan, Nike, Adidas. You get the point.
Okay.
Just no thong sandals.
Okay. Very reasonable.
No toenails.
No toenails. So rip all your toenails off and then wear slides. That's the rule. Yeah, but then if you wear slides with socks, that's like, yes, you do it, and that's fine.
I have an idea. Just wear a fucking pair of sneakers.
There you go. Now we're talking. Anyway, Bar A, August 20th. Get there. 2 o'clock. Anyway, so we are on our next team. It is the Houston Texans as we keep continuous coverage of the AFC South. And when you're looking at the Texans, obviously, bro, I mean, all eyes this entire offseason has been on Deshaun Watson and everything that guy's going through. When I say going through, like, I don't feel bad for him. I'm saying he's just is going through it. And it's self-inflicted, maybe. Nobody knows anything. We are not the judge, jury, executioners here. But we are saying that he's not practicing. And he's not there. He's not with the team. So what are the Texans going to do? What is their answer to their quarterback woes if Deshaun Watson is not there week one? Which, according to every other suspension that Goodell's ever handed out, it has to happen. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. If this guy gets off and gets exempt or whatever the hell, it'll be the most catastrophic thing anybody's ever seen who have been dealt with in any kind of matter, any kind of legal matter.
The Texans are in full tank mode regardless. Even if Watson does play, I can't see them winning many games. Given the situation, he's not practicing. They're saying it's a calf. We're saying it's
not,
other things.
It's not. It's nothing.
Now, I read an article where they were saying that teams were calling about Deshaun Watson and the Texans weren't fielding calls in hopes to keep him around because they think that things might blow over potentially. But if not,
it's a lot to blow over, man.
I know. If not, they're officially gearing towards the draft class and they're going to get their quarterback there. There's nothing that they're going to be able to do.
I'm not a college football enthusiast until like midseason draft There's time. But like, is there any quarterback that's coming out that everybody's wowing about?
I have no idea. Right. I would be able to come up with a couple that might be their guy. But honestly, there is no guy out there in the league available for trade that's going to fix it. You don't want to patch up a team that's potentially going to go 0-16 to make them go 3-13. At this point, why are you giving up any assets to get any better if you're going to be 3-13 at best anyway? The Texans are going to be a really bad team this year.
AJ will be pulling up in the next couple minutes. We'll be pulling up the win-loss total. We'll talk about that in a second, but behind Deshaun Watson is Tyrod Taylor, or Tyrod, whatever he wants to call himself. He's serviceable. He's not bad at football. He's played for a lot of bad teams. When he played in Buffalo, it was better, but then when you go to Cleveland, it's like, eh. And then the San Diego issue, or Los Angeles issue, where he literally got stabbed in the chest or something, where all of a sudden lost that job to Justin Herbert relatively immediately. So this kid's a seasoned vet. He's there. They also have Davis Mills, who I don't know who that is, but I do know who Jeff Driscoll is. He's another seasoned backup. So they have a plan.
They have nobody but at quarterback.
Correct.
They're going to win no games.
You don't think any of these guys can win games?
Win a game or two, but...
All right, well, we'll go over their schedule in a second. Their running backs, however, I feel like they're super deep at running back. Listen to the four, and if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you don't have to pull over or anything like that. These are the four guys that are on this roster. David Johnson via the trade with DeAndre Hopkins. Phillip Lindsay, who I think is a gamer. He's a stud running back. Don't know why that it didn't work out in Denver. And then you have Mark Ingram, who obviously made his famous days in New Orleans, did a lot of work for Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like, he's another serviceable running back. Probably lost a step or two. That's okay. And then Rex Burkhead is over there. So that's four guys.
So you just named four washed running backs, and some of them that were never even good to begin with.
You think Lindsay is washed?
I think, I wouldn't say he's washed because of his age, and he hasn't, but he's not a crazy prospect. He's a hard worker. He's undersized. He's a hard runner, but he is who he is. If you want 3.4 yards a carry, that's your guy.
Well, that's not going to do it. So you think David Johnson, no promise in that kid to rebound.
The worst contract in all of sports, arguably, yes, is David Johnson's contract. So there's a reason why they can't fucking sign anybody. And the fact that they made that trade, worst trade in history, we could talk about that more than we could talk about this team, because that's why they're in this state. Getting rid of Hopkins for basically the equal contract back.
And a lesser player.
And then it's not like, now, there's a few layers to this. To get into it, it wasn't like they saved money at the receiver position. Like, they went out and signed Cobb to another terrible contract. Now, they got rid of that contract, paid a little bit of it, which that's another story. I'm happy about that. But, you know, Randall Cobb and David Johnson's contract equal what DeAndre Hopkins was getting in annual salary. So why? Just to please the player? You know, you had him. Sign him to that deal. They could have had Hopkins. They could have given Hopkins the $16 million plus the $10 million they were giving Cobb annually, and it would have been better than having those two. That's my point on that. But, yeah, man, the Texans, they don't even have cap room.
Yeah,
they can't really make it. They're so bad. They don't even have a good player. They don't even have money to spend.
They basically replaced Randall Cobb with an Anthony Miller. Again, probably the same player. I would take Cobb over Miller. That's just me. I mean, their number one receiver is Brandon Cooks, who's a burner.
I love Brandon Cooks. I really do. He's one of my favorite players because he somehow or another just always produces in my lineup. He's one of those guys where you don't really want him to to have to rely on him. And but when you spot start him, he could either go one way or the other. And for whatever reason, whenever I needed him on a bye week, when one of my started, he crushed it. Right. So I have a fucking a thing for Brandon Cooks. Not that way.
I mean, not that and if he did, thing. It's okay. It's okay. And then I don't know who Nico Collins is, but he's above Anthony Miller on the depth chart. And of course, Jordan Atkins is a serviceable tight end. We saw him come on last year. Their offensive line is something that's kind of a shit show outside of Laremy Tunsil. And that, you talk about bad trades. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, they gave the Dolphins everything in the kitchen sink to get Laremy Tunsil over there. And it's so funny because Tunsil was once regarded as like, won't be drafted because of his weed gas mask. Remember that whole ordeal? So all of a sudden, he's like the star of your offensive line. That's saying something when the rest of the guys are just not as good.
Sure NFL players are allowed to smoke weed now.
Yeah, why do you think Randy Gregory is playing a full season for the Cowboys? It's his first full season coming up.
I mean, he's good. Now are they going to start testing for cocaine?
I hope not.
Oh, well, because then he's done. No, I have no idea. I don't want to talk.
Breaking news. Gucci accuses Randy Gregory of using cocaine. Anyway, so you look at this base 3-4 defense. Another kind of what are we doing here with the Texans? Because it's bad. It's very bad, as a matter of fact. The only shining star of this defense, you would have to say, is maybe Justin Reed, and I don't even like him personally. I just don't like him. And there are other Whitney Mercilus, definitely a good linebacker. He probably is the shining star. But again, what is going on with the culture of the Texans where you basically let your best defensive lineman walk and just goodbye? Like, it's over. Like, how does that happen? What, like, is it that bad there?
Well, what are they going to do? Pay him a ton of money to still suck? It's at this point, they're in rebuild mode. So getting a guy there isn't going to do anything for them. They're like 3 years away. They need to build through the draft, and they blew it up because there was nothing to really have there. But they have no cap room as it is. So what are they going to do? Hinder themselves in the cap even more? Right now, nobody wants to go play for that team. Their owner is considered racist by most, you know, for the comments that he has made. Just the general feel that I get is that the Texans are going to be one of the bottom feeders for a really long time in the NFL.
Okay. It's not a bold statement. It's a statement.
I think that if there's any team right now in the league that has potential to move cities, and I have no idea the semantics behind this. Maybe they can't because of lease deals or whatever the fuck you got going on. But I feel like the Texans are on their way out of Houston at one point or another.
We got something.
Another thing I just really want to mention in terms of Texans is their new hire, their head coach. I think he's probably the worst head coach hiring I've seen in a very long time.
I raise you Adam Gase, but who is this guy?
Basically, he is the Chiefs wide receiver. Wait, 1 second.
It's not Eric Bieniemy, is it?
The Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy, just so we're clear.
Yeah, but he was the Chiefs receivers coach and assistant head coach under Andy Reid in Kansas City in 2014. David Culley. When they had not a single touchdown to the receiver that entire year. That was his one job.
That's when the Packers hired Mike McCarthy as the 49ers' former offensive coordinator that went 1-15. And they hired that guy. That's the same Mike McCarthy that you got.
So
you mean
I'm
the same Mike I'm not even going to go there anymore.
Mike McCarthy that got handed a Super Bowl by Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, my point was that it just keeps getting worse. It's not going to be good.
And Eric Bieniemy could have been the guy. Could have been the guy. Eric Bieniemy is the mind behind the Mahomes offense.
And that's why Deshaun Watson demanded a trade, because they didn't hire Bieniemy.
Yes.
Bieniemy. And also, shout out to Lil Wayne for dropping an Eric Bieniemy line in one of his songs way back in the day. And if anybody doesn't know, Eric Bieniemy was a running back for Colorado. But Lil Wayne, I'm running this shit like Eric Bieniemy back.
Heard it. But
no, AJ?
Did Kanye drop an album yesterday?
No, Kanye has not dropped the album yet.
He dropped something last night.
I know that my boy Joey D and my brother Carl is a Colorado Buffaloes fan from when we were young.
Colorado Buffaloes. Cordell Stewart, baby. Cordell Stewart.
It did not drop, but something else did drop.
I don't know why. I just raised the question when you said Lil Wayne. I'm thinking rap anyway. Cordell Stewart, my man.
And this was before Bieniemy became a new, like, he was a household name when we were young. And then he kind of disappeared. He was just in the coaching ranks, but not a head coaching candidate.
He was in the portal.
Yeah, he was in a head coach candidate portal.
Right.
He was not a candidate at any point in that time. And Lil Wayne still brought him along for the ride.
Gave him the burn. Good for him. All right, so now my biggest question is this. You look at the Texans' schedule. As per Gucci, as for 50% owner of Chop Sports, he told me not to list the preseason schedule, so I won't do that. They play the Cowboys. Anyway,
The new ding is going to be a fart. It's going to be an actual fart from me.
Good. Yeah, clear out your bowels. Anyway, I'm looking at their schedule, and now it's instead of going up and down game by game, it's now find the wins for the Houston Texans, because that's exactly what I'm looking at.
And this. There's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Because actually, AJ, what is the over-under on the win total? Has to be, wait, let me guess.
2.5.
You say 2.5. I say 4.
5.
Really? They must be banking on Watson playing some of these games and not suspended for the entire thing. 5 wins out of the Texans? I get no way. No way. I am taking so far under. I might even, if there's a way to like bet even under a different number, I'm going to do that.
Like the alternative over under?
Yeah, something.
They might have that on certain. You could do that with
I'll take it.
Actual game.
I am like, it's just a Texans hater. What?
I was just grabbing my coffee. I wasn't even doing nothing.
The green secret of the ooze coffee.
Also, AJ, I'm going to give you a tip. Every time that you need to talk, you don't have to turn that on. You could just talk from the distance on certain things like that. I think that adds an element of...
Yeah, like, I'm just grabbing my coffee. You know what I mean? Like, right? That's what you can do.
We're trying to set this, like, this set. Certain feel where there's fans here and shit like that.
All right.
There's one over there, one over there, and Tyson's watching.
You get what I'm saying, though, right?
Dak Prescott's over there. You
know, it adds some production value.
I agree. I agree with that.
You're getting a sneak peek as to how things work around here.
Ooh, baby. Anyway, so let's find the wins, Gooch. Now,
that doesn't mean you never turn the unmute off, you know, just to beat a dead horse. I'm only... talking about
I'm very surprised reason. You're just ruining AJ's life today.
No. AJ,
he brought us bagels today, bro. Like, what a stud.
I have nothing but great things to say. AJ's parents, I know you guys listen. You guys did an amazing job.
Your parents listen?
They both listen every day.
Really?
Yep.
So they're the two.
So they must hate Dave for his fucking Dak argument when you like completely unloaded on
them. No, I actually didn't mind that at all.
No,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what then when legend. He's like, you don't have a brain, they're like, go, AJ, go. You know, like, really bring it to him. And I'm like,
you must be brain dead, Dave.
My dad actually disagreed with a few of my points, and then we got into an argument.
See? Papa Bascone over there. He knows what the hell's
and
up.
And he's a Giants fan. So.
All right. He's off my like list already. Your mom has an allegiance?
Nah, she just give a damn.
Sister?
She has a Tebow Jets jersey, though, that we got her for Christmas one year.
Oh,
so.
Jesus Christ. Who's your sister like?
Hallie doesn't give a damn.
Oh, all right. Oh, well. Shout out to the entire Bascone family. But anyway, so the Texans set at 5. I clearly think under. You clearly probably think under as well. But look at the schedule. Let's go first 5, right? First 5 in a row. Jacksonville, Cleveland, Carolina, Buffalo, New England.
They might be able to win week 1 and that's it. Might.
So they win their home opener. Everybody's like, oh my God, Tyrod Taylor is the guy. They're winning it. All right.
So they might be able to win it, but I doubt it.
But then the rest of them are losses. And then Indy, Arizona, the Chargers, the Dolphins. I don't see any there.
They might beat the Jets.
The Jets are a little later on. After their bye, they come back and play the Titans.
And they might beat Jacksonville again, but probably not.
So I'm
honestly, I got them at 1-15.
I got them at gift. I give them 2 just to be nice. Mine's
1-15 and it's a gift.
So that's 1-16. Yeah, even worse. You let me the first team to ever go 1-16 would be that. AJ, what do you got? You're going to take the over and be bold?
Nah, you know, I love Vegas, but I don't know if they know what they're doing on this one. I'm going with 1-16.
1-16.
They friggin' stink. And you know what? What the odds are, their only win will be over the friggin' Jets.
All right. Well, you being the resident house Jets fan,
the Jets starting
would be
quarterback is only 7 years old, so I'm not going to be hard to beat them. And see, apparently their head coach is a bitch now, too.
You know what, though? Zach Wilson's probably like, Zach Wilson sees the laps and stuff and the sprints. He's like, I was doing that in Pee Wee last summer.
Yeah, right? Around the school.
Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Anyway, so, yeah, the Texans are in for a world of hurt, in my opinion, and in all of our opinions. Neither of any of us have them going more than 2 wins. And this is all bearing. Now, does this change? If let's just say out of the 17 games, Watson's suspended for 8, right? And they get 9 games with Deshaun Watson. Is he enough to win games by himself? He's proven that before. Like, no. Does that change the dynamic of our predictions if Watson is there for more than half the season?
No.
So you still think with this team assembled, with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, they can't win more than 1 game in this year? Not 1.
2.
You'll give him a win. Okay, that's bold. All right.
I don't think Watson's playing this year. And if he does, he's going to come back when? week seven, week eight.
It might be. Listen to me. This is what happened with Zeke, bro. They let him play for seven games, and then they dropped the hammer. And then he was out for like six after that.
Well, if Watson could play right now, would he? He's hurt.
Air quotes.
All right, so if he's, the NFL, you have to be hurt technically if you're listed. Mm. I know that there's ways around it.
Ask Belichick, your boy. I'm sure there's ways to finagle and finesse that shit.
You ain't trying, bro.
All right, well, with that, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying in the NFL. So with that, the Texans are in for a very long haul. I don't know the quarterback draft class of next year. We will dive into that as it gets closer, or when this college season starts, you're going to see who lights up the scoreboards. So that's the Texans. And so for Monday, we will get on the Indianapolis Colts, who, again, am I right with that? Yes. The Titans won the division last year? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm right. So we'll do the Colts on Monday. And like I said, with the Colts, they're in for their own quarterback situation with Carson Wentz being out 5 to 12 years, apparently, because he can't stay healthy. So we'll talk about the Colts on Monday. So for a feel-good Friday, we hope you enjoy your weekend. Enjoy all the festivities, whether it be Yankee baseball, some more, I don't even know, Olympic stuff, whatever you're into, enjoy it. And we will see you guys on behalf of Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ from across town now. We will see you guys on Monday.
We got Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, and who's this North Carolina? Sam Howell, listed as the 1 and 2 quarterback prospect, North Carolina, for next year.
They still have a football program?
See. Ooh.